The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse down through the 14th verse today. So John chapter 1, verse 9. And we begin to read. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come. I thank you for the opportunity of the Sunday school classes and to teach your word, to learn each and every day as we open your precious scripture. I hope, Father, that this isn't the only day that folks open their Bibles, but that they search them and enjoy it each and every day of the week, and they just come for a special blessing today. Now, please, that you will show us your way and will. I thank you for the hymns, those beautiful hymns. I thank you for the special today. Please, that you just continue now to guide and lead us and strengthen us. Make us useful to you. Help us to be good servants and serve and praise and honor you. Please, guide and lead us today as we study your word. Bring those that do not know you as their Savior to the place of salvation. Bring us, Father, to a place of not only salvation, but it just begins there and it continues on to service. And again, that we may bring honor and glory unto you. Now, please touch every heart today. Speak to all of our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This 9th verse is in review with the 9th and 10th verse. The true light is the Lord Jesus. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world, the scripture tells us. And we need to realize that if anyone walks in darkness, they have no one to blame but themselves. And many folks today choose to walk in darkness. They choose to deny the Lord Jesus Christ and not come by faith to him. Some folks teach that there is some good in themselves, a spark, a little bit of light, and all that you need to do is to cultivate it a little bit, to stir it up. And when you come to church, why, that stirs up what's good inside you, and eventually you'll become a person of use and of service unto the Lord. That's not true. Because without the new birth, without coming by faith to Jesus Christ, without being born again, there is no hope. There is no hope. You have to be born again. You have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We need to understand that the Word is very clear when it teaches that we're born in sin and we're shaped in iniquity. We must be born again. Something cannot be good out of evil. We've talked about this last week. All must be born again. You must start there. Start with the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at these verses of Scripture, it becomes very, very personal as far as the relationship that we have with our Lord. And it can come because he took on the flesh, as we are going to look at today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We need to be in Christ. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then we come on to the 10th verse, again in review. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. What a sad, sad statement. Jesus made this world. He is the creator of this world. And yet the residents of this world did not know him when he came. He came, according to verse 11, unto his own, and his own received him not. And so once again, we confirm that not only the world didn't know him, but his own didn't know him. And that's a sadder statement than the first one. because his own, the Jews, Israel, all the wisdom that they had, he came, he who spoke the world into existence, come down from heaven where men are. He came not as a judge. He came not as a dictator. He was made like unto his brethren. He came meek as a lamb and holy. He did not come to be ministered to. God should have come here that we may minister to him. But he didn't come here to be ministered unto. He came to minister. Our Lord came here to earth and he healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. He came unto his own, the people of Israel, but they received him not. You know, the world is spiritually blind. They're in darkness. It's understandable that they would not recognize the Son of God as he come. The Jews, the Israel, did not do the job they were supposed to do. They were supposed to show all the world the Savior that was coming. Instead of that, they not only didn't show the world what was coming, they kept it for themselves. And they not only kept it for themselves, but they missed it. They missed the Savior. And you see, they should not have missed it because they were given the Holy Scripture. They had the law. They had the tabernacle. They had so much witness. They had the prophets. They had so much light. And yet they still missed the Savior in his coming. Not only the world missed him, but also his own missed him. They were without excuse because they were the ones that had the light. And they were the ones that were to bring the light and to carry the light out to us. Israel, the Jews, not only missed him, but they desired to stone him to death. The Israelites not only missed him and desired to stone him to death, but they desired to take him and have him hung on a cross and crucified. What a day. What a way to create the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, and God himself come down to earth. And yet that's the world that we live in. They called him an imposter. A question that you could ask yourself, and that is, what did Jesus do about those that rejected him? Did he put them to death? He could have. He had that conversation with Moses from time to time. As Israel came out of Egypt and come to Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up on the mountain. Then he hears this ruckus, and here they have decided to build a golden calf and to bow down and worship it. From time to time, God said, that's it, Moses, I'm going to make it the family from you. And Moses stood in the middle, and he said, God, don't let the world say you could not deliver these folks into the promised land. And so God would back up from his judgment and move forwards. But when Jesus came to this earth, and he was rejected in every way, and he even was called an imposter, he could have destroyed him. He could have condemned him to hell right there. But he didn't. Here's what he did. In verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What a gift. He could have destroyed him. He could have sent him directly to hell. He could, as he did with some of the folks that made the golden calf, they went straight to hell. The old earth was opened up and dropped right down into the fires of hell. He could have done that to everyone that rejected him as he came to this earth. But instead of that, His love was so great. Here's what he did. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This does not just include a certain group of people, a certain land or a certain race or a certain color. It includes all. Every individual that has ever been born, that's ever lived upon this earth, has had an opportunity of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came to this earth, he brought that opportunity of light. Remember, the light came to all men, to every man, that they might see the light. And those that received the light, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. What an opportunity! What a joy! Man cannot possess or produce any power. It is God-given. God transforms us from a dead sinner into living sons of God that can walk in the light. That's what our God has done for us. Taken us from a dead sinner and brought us into sons of God, living sons of God that have the opportunity to walk in the light. The last half of this 12th verse is just as important and just as exciting, even to them that believe on his name, the scripture says. How difficult is it to be a child of God? How easy is it to be saved? The word is spoken, the Holy Spirit convicts the heart, and you say yes. That's our God. Even to them that believe on his name. That word on there, let's look at that just a little bit in the 12th verse. Even to them that believe on his name. That word on brings a side of commitment. And that's what we need to have to our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to commit our lives to him. We need to be committed to Jesus Christ. We believe on Jesus for salvation. And when we do, the new birth takes place. Born again. The new birth does not come through the flesh. It does not come through the will of man. It is a direct result of the power of God and him alone. We have no strength. We have no opportunity of salvation. We have no opportunity of life without God. And we need to walk each day knowing that our God is the one that empowers us and gives us our strength. That should bring us to a place of that we would honor and glorify him and praise his name. A good day or a bad day, we need to praise him. Because he has given us so much and done so much for us. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That wonderful name is none other than the name of Jesus. Jesus means Savior, and he saves us when we believe on his name. And receive him by faith. The 13th verse continues to explain what we have. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Which were born or begotten, not of blood. If you go with me to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls. The 13th verse back in chapter 1 of John, which were born not of blood. You see, the only way that our God could save us is if he was perfect. It's not of human blood. The blood is the blood of God. Nor the will of the flesh, of their nature, or of the human side of it. Nor the will of man. And the will of man there is a human determination. I'm determined that I can do right. I'm determined that I can save myself. No. Which were born. And the last three words of that verse 13, but of God. But of God. You must be born again. Jonah chapter 9, chapter 2, verse 9, and let's go there. Obadiah, Jonah, there he is. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Again, I'm going to, but I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. Does anybody know where Jonah is located right at this present time? And how long he has been there? Jonah's not having a good day. Jonah's been in the belly, the fish's belly for 3 days. And I don't believe he's just in the belly of the fish. I think Jonah went down into, as it says, hell. Hell in the scripture, or Hades, is the center of the earth. And up until the time that Jesus rose again, believers went down to a place called paradise. There's paradise and there's Hades, there's hell. There's a place of torment and there's paradise. And we learn from the rich man that there was a great gulf fixed between them. And so over here is the place of torment, over here is the place of paradise. And all believers, and we know Abraham went to the place of paradise, and I believe that's where Jonah went. Jonah went down into the center of the earth. You can dispute it. You can stand with others that say that Jonah was kept alive in the belly of the fish. I believe by those verses back in Jonah that Jonah died, and God rose him again, lifted him up again. What does the Word of God say? As Jonah, the Lord Jesus will raise from the dead in 3 days. I believe Jonah died. Now, God could keep him alive in that fish's belly, or God could raise him from the dead. God can do those things. So it doesn't matter which way that you look at it. What's important is where Jonah was when he said this. He is thanking God. Been in the place of Hades? No, he has repented. Jonah has got his heart right. And by Jonah getting his heart right, now even under such circumstances, he can praise and thank God. So when is it that we don't thank and praise our God? It's not because of the situation. It's not because of the circumstances. It's our heart. Because if our heart is right with our God, no matter what we're going through, we will lift him up and praise him and honor him and thank him for all that he has done. Jonah had to spend 3 days in Hades, in paradise. He said, well, what was wrong with that? Well, it wasn't where he was supposed to be. It wasn't where he was supposed to be because he was supposed to go to Nineveh. And he was on the run. When Jonah repented, then God spoke to the fish. The very next verses, he spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited him up upon dry land. he thanked God. Jonah said very clearly that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. You see, sometimes we have to go down into the belly of the fish for 3 days to remember where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. That wasn't the trip God wanted him to do. He'd have been in Nineveh preaching already. Instead of that, he chose to take another route. And he went down into the ship and down to Tarsus, down into the ship. He just kept going down into the belly of the fish. He just kept going down. And until our heart is right, salvation is ours. Jonah acknowledged that. But the blessings are gone. No matter what you're going through, praise God. No matter what, praise God. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born again. And here in the 14th verse, we have a wonderful verse of Scripture. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here we learn that Christ has just become something he had never been before. He has become something he's never been before. He was in the beginning with the Father, but now he had become something different from what he had been all through eternity. He willingly became flesh, and notice that he came into flesh, not out of flesh. Christ took his abode, took his place in flesh. Flesh did not become the Word, but Word became flesh. It's important that we see which way. God did not come from this earth or something of this earth. He came from heaven, and he came down and took on, became flesh. Christ was God and man linked in one person. Christ was the God-man. And what the law, though holy and good, could not do because of the weakness of the flesh, Jesus did, because he was God in flesh. God in flesh. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law, every jot and tittle. And you can look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 and find those words. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Scripture tells us here, Christ really became a man like ourselves in every way except sin. Except sin. That's the only part that's missing. The only part. He was born of a woman, but his birth was a miraculous birth. There has never been, nor ever will be, another birth like the birth of the Lord Jesus. Born of a virgin, he took his flesh from Mary, but his blood was God's. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus grew just like any child would, from a baby into manhood. Jesus wept. Jesus felt pain. Jesus was moved to anger. Jesus was tempted. And also Jesus rejoiced. Jesus did something that we're to do, and that's to submit our will unto the will of God. Jesus did that. At the given time, at the appointed hour, in that body of flesh, he shed his blood and died on the cross. The cross of that day, was the worst form of death that could be handed down to anyone. The worst. And Jesus died the worst physical death. At all the time that he was here upon earth, it's hard for us to understand that in his ministry, in his death, in his burial, he was very God as well as very man. God, man. We can't understand that. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's one of the greatest mysteries that the Christian religion has. It is also one of the greatest truths of Christianity. God, man. His divinity was never laid aside. It was only veiled by flesh. He came here to earth. Christ Jesus was God in all his perfection, and yet he was perfect man from the very moment he was born of the Virgin Mary. From the moment he was conceived, he was perfect man. You see, we think of the birth being when he arrived in Bethlehem in the manger. Birth is conception. If we will stop thinking of birth as when the baby comes out of the womb, we would stop murdering the babies through abortion. Conception. That's birth. We'll pay in the form of judgment from our God for what we have done in murdering so many babies. The same God-man is now in heaven, sitting on the right hand of his Father, making intercession for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Turn with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses I'm going to read for you today. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high." Every moment of his earthly ministry, he was truly and entirely God. Yet at the same time, he was truly and entirely man. To deny this is Eliot's heresy. Jesus, as a man, knows our infirmities. He knows as we are tempted, as we go through trials. He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, although without sin. He feels our pain. He feels our weakness. We have one to go to. He can sympathize with us because he was one with us here on earth. Our Lord Jesus. He can not only sympathize with us because he was man, he also can deal with God on terms for us because he is God. What a miracle. Christ is made unto us righteousness. You know, Abraham believed God, and for him it was counted unto righteousness. We just need to believe that he is the Son of God, our Savior, and we will receive the blessed righteousness of God. We have quite a bit more in this 14th verse. But not only did he be put on the flesh, but the blood of Jesus is so important. The blood that he shed for sinners was the blood of God, even though he died as a man. Perfect blood. God cannot die. But God became flesh in order that he might, through death, bring life to man. And we're going to begin there next week, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 2, and that 14th verse just has so much to it that we're not going to rush through it. We must understand the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Please, don't be one of those that knew Him not. Don't be one of those that received Him not. All of us have folks we know and we love, and much of it is in our own family that does not want to come by faith to Jesus. They have chosen another path, a path of human means and human abilities. Many have been lied to by their own church. The very place that should bring them to salvation has turned them away from salvation. Let's be a good lighthouse. We have a Savior that gives us all the strength we need, the power. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's a great power He has given us. Let's stand with Him and fellowship with Him and walk with Him and serve Him. Let's come by faith to Jesus. If you've never been saved, come today, please. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come, enjoy this sweet time together. I ask that you'll take my words and use them to your honor and glory, that they're not mine, but they're yours. That it will penetrate and touch the hearts of all that are here. For salvation first and then for service. That we'll stand with you and know you and feel your presence and power each and every day. Please, dear Lord, that help us to understand that when we're weak, you're strong. Truth is known, dear Lord, when we're the strongest, we think we're actually the weakest. Because when you're doing the work, it'll be done right. So please guide and lead us, dear Lord, and strengthen us. Bring those that are lost to the saving knowledge of you, Lord Jesus, to the cross of Calvary. And speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.